The following program is recorded content created by the Truth Network.
It's Matt Slick Live. Matt is the founder and president of the Christian Apologetics Research Ministry, found online at carm.org. When you have questions about Bible doctrines, turn to Matt Slick Live for answers, taking your calls and responding to your questions at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Right, everyone, welcome to the show. It's a nice Monday. It is June 5th, 2023. If you want to give me a call, all you got to do is dial 877-207-2276. Last four digits, 2276. They spell C-A-R-M on the phone if you want to give me a call. All right, also, we have five open lines right now. Also, if you want, you can email me at info@carm.org. You can say a radio question, radio comment. And I'll look, we've got quite a few stacked up, and I want to get to them, but sometimes the callers just start coming in. I want to give preference to the ones who call in live. All right, so having said all that, I hope you all had a great weekend. I did a good weekend. I'm working on a couple new projects, just to slip them in between some of the other projects I'm working on. Doing a study on the phrase Son of God and the phrase Son of Man. It's already become quite interesting. I'd like to see what God does with phrases. More on that later. All right, so here's something that I think is worth talking about. The Chosen series, as many of you know what it is, about Jesus and the apostles and everything. And, you know, the main actor who plays Jesus is a Roman Catholic. And, okay, all right. You know, it's bad enough, but what are you going to do? You know, I get it. But I'm glad that Jesus is being promoted. And it's a pretty good show. I've seen every episode that's been released. Well, now, over the past few days, there's a report of a pride flag on the set, that someone there is having a pride flag, I heard, on the backpack and a pride flag. And they didn't say anything about it. And that it's okay. No, it's not. And so I have an article written on The Chosen. I'm going to update it and to discuss it to show. I'm going to do a little bit more research and find out some exact things that Dallas Jenkins said about it. But if I don't know about others, but it's already, you know, there's so many issues here. It's hard to know. It's hard to know where to draw the line. Like, they're using Mormon set. I could see using a Mormon set because nothing of Mormonism is in it. Now, well, doesn't that apply the same thing? If a guy, a cameraman has a pride flag and it's not in the series, isn't that okay too? And this is where it starts getting more difficult because there are some gray areas. Where do you draw the line? The line needs to be drawn someplace. Now, the Mormon church, of course, is not a Christian church. They say they're Christian, but they believe, you know, God came from another planet and has a goddess wife, and you become gods. And they deny the true God, the true Christ, and the true gospel. They say they're Christian, but they're not. All right, so there's that. And then we have the rainbow issue, the alphabet mob that goes around telling people what they should do and trying to brainwash and groom the kids and all this kind of stuff. And, you know, there's a difference between the idea of using a Mormon set and the rainbow stuff, because the Mormon set, it's not a promotion of Mormonism, where the pride stuff, the flag, is a promotion of homosexuality, the LGBTQ, all the alphabet mob stuff. And particularly since what we're seeing in society is the aggression of the alphabet mob trying to brainwash our children, groom our children, it is absolutely horrifying that filth like this is being promoted to our children on libraries. You know, the pride, you get a whole month, and the Memorial Day for the soldiers, you get one day. And why is it that the government is promoting homosexuality and it's a sexual behavior? Why are they promoting a sexual behavior? Why are they doing this? It doesn't make any stinking sense to me. It's homosexuality, you know, LGBTQ, it's all sexual preferences. It's your sexuality. It's all what it is. And the government's getting in now, promoting it, approving of it. What business has government got to do this? It doesn't have any business doing that. And then what it does is it penalizes Christians when they say something. The hypocrisy is huge. And if, I'm going to tell you, folks, if we don't stand up and fight back, and not just by praying. I mean, praying's absolute. Okay, we got to do that. But we can't just sit there and go, well, I prayed. I did my business. I'm going to go and, you know, watch TV. there's going to be more done eventually when God calls you to act on what you've been praying about. Will you act? That's a question I want to ask. Because a lot of people will say, God, use me. And then when the opportunity to get used comes up, they deny it. They don't want it. They want to be used in a comfortable way, an easy way that makes them feel better. Well, that's not often what God does. He often sends us places we don't want to be and say things we don't want to have to say and do things we don't want to have to do. And yet Christians, you know, because God is, you know, he's a blonde-haired, blue-eyed Caucasian surfer dude dressed in a woman's nightgown, and what he wants to do is make your life comfortable. But God's got a wonderful plan for your life. It's wonderful. That crap that's taught from so many churches. A wonderful plan for your life. Really? I define wonderful. What does it mean? A lot of money? Good car? Is that what it means? Good, perfect health? That's a wonderful plan? What if he says, I want you to go to Borneo and preach? What are you going to do? What if he says, I want you to stand up at a school council and say, we've had enough of this stuff? What about that? Because that's what Jesus and the apostles did. And Jesus says, if you don't pick up your cross daily and follow after me, you're not worthy of me. So, you know, I have a real problem with the lackadaisical, weak-kneed, mamby-pamby hammock theology being taught from so many pulpits across America. Not all. There's some good preachers out there who preach the truth and praise God for them. But there's just not enough. Oh, man. And so, anyway, back to The Chosen. I can no longer recommend it. That's just my opinion. You want to watch it, I'm not going to be mad at you. You call up and say, hey, I still think it. That's between you and God. I can't recommend it anymore. If you're going to compromise and have people promote those things on the set, it's a promotion of incredible sin against God. And then some of the actors started defending the flag and all this stuff. I would love, okay, capital L, capital O, capital V, capital E, love. I'd love to drive down to the set in Utah and have a meeting with these guys and talk to them lovingly, patiently. I'm very well qualified to be able to defend the Christian faith and talk about issues of morality from the scriptures. And I'm hoping that somehow, some way, one of the people involved with that set is listening to this right now. And hey, I'd be glad to come on down. I'm not going to start swinging and accusing everybody. Say, let's just talk. Let's open the Word of God. If you believe the Word of God, let's see what it says. How, you know, what? Where do we draw the line? What are the standards? What do you do? Where are you going to stand for righteousness? How much compromise? These are tough questions, but they need to be dealt with. And they named me. I wish. I just wish it would happen. But it's not going to. They're not going to trust a guy on a radio named Slick. Come on. But I can no longer recommend the show. And it's just me. When they, you know, if I was in charge of the show, the producer, whatever, and somebody came up with a pride flag, I say, I'm sorry, that's not allowed here. Well, you mean it's not allowed? Here's what I mean by it. It's not allowed here. Just like drunkenness would not be allowed on the set. Okay, we've got to be tolerant, right? Tolerant, right? Pedophiles. Okay, we can allow them on the set too and have their stuff and have their pedophile stuff going on. Oh, no, I'm not going to do that. Well, why not? Why not be alphabet mob? Because the pedophiles are now using the same arguments. They're called minor attracted persons now. Not pedophiles. That's negative. Oh, no. Minor attracted persons is part of the alphabet mob of sexual orientation. Yeah. You're going to have that on there too? Why not? Why not? Yeah. So you have to draw the line someplace. You got to draw the line someplace. And if you don't draw it, they will. The unbelievers will. They'll push the Christian faith into oblivion. And I'm waiting to see what happens on this, on the film now. What are they going to do? I just... You know, I know I make a lot of people mad. And I'm irritating. My wife rubs her forehead around me a lot. I don't know what that is, but maybe it's related to this. I don't know. You know, she shakes her head, goes, and rubs her forehead. Usually when I'm saying something. So maybe she's got a medical issue. We'll have to have her checked out. I don't know. But, you know, I do know that I do make a lot of people upset. And on one hand, I want to say, I don't care. It doesn't bother me. You want to get upset? Go whine someplace else. I'm going to tell you what the Word of God says. If you don't like it, that's between you and God. And on the other hand, yeah, I do care. I don't want people to be upset just to be upset. I don't want that, of course. You know, but if the truth offends you, then so be it. And that's my position. I don't want you to be offended by the truth. I want you to submit to it. Because the truth that offends you, the truth that comes from God that offends you, means you have the problem. And if you're offended by the words of truth about not allowing homosexuality, the alphabet mob, to swarm over society and groom society as a whole for its perversion, if you don't have a problem with that, then maybe you might want to look at what you're picking up and carrying each day. Is it the cross or is it a rainbow flag? What are you carrying? Let's get to Dante from Louisiana. Dante, welcome. You're on the air.
Oh, how you doing, Matt? We talked a lot on the Clubhouse on Wednesday nights with Brother Silverstar.
Okay.
I appreciate taking my call. My question was, I'm a minister, assistant pastor. One of my deacons, he always likes to say that when we get to like the afterlife, God is going to erase all our memories. Like, because he will quote like Revelation 21 verse 4, Isaiah 55 verse 17, where it said like all the former things will pass away, and God will wipe away all our memories. And not to make this a long question, it's just, I just find that kind of problematic. I'm not dogmatic about the issue, but I look at verses like Luke 16 verse 19 to 31. With the rich man, the saint that was martyred in Revelation 6, Samuel calling back from the dead, Moses and Elijah called back from the transfiguration. So anyway, I just wanted to ask, like, do you, Bible may not be like, explicitly clear, but it just seems to me with the weight of the biblical evidence, I don't see it being the case that God is just going to wipe away all our memories in the afterlife. Do you find that statement problematic, or do you see the scriptures saying that we retain earthly memories, or do we just forget it all?
So you want to know if we're going to lose our memories, or some of them, when we get to heaven, right?
Yeah, like, is God going to wipe away our memories,
so
we retain more?
So what was the verse out of Revelation that he was talking about? Revelation 21 what?
Revelation 21, 4. And
4. Let's
Isaiah
take a look.
Isaiah 55.
Let's do Revelation. Let's do one at a time. And he will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will no longer be any death. There will no longer be any mourning or crying or pain. The first things have passed away. Nothing in there says the memories disappear. He's reading into the text, making us say what he wants. What's the other one? Isaiah what?
Isaiah 55, verse 17.
Okay. Instead, the thorn bush, the cypress will come up. Instead, the nettle, the myrtle will come up. And it will be a memorial to the Lord, an everlasting sign, which will be cut off. Not be cut off?
No, Isaiah 55, verse 17.
Oh, 65. Okay, I'm sorry. My hearing's
not
very good. I don't
65.
Hear the S sound very well. My hearing's a little shot. All right. You will leave your name for a curse to my chosen ones, and the Lord will slay you by the servants. That one? Here we go. Because former troubles, there's no, former things will not be remembered or come to mind. Ah, okay.
Yeah.
We got a break coming up. Okay. Sorry, man. It's my hearing.
Oh, no problem.
Hey, we'll be right back. We'll get to it after the break. We'll analyze it, okay? Hey, folks, we'll be right back after these messages. We have two open lines. If you want to give me a call, 877-207-2276. We'll be right back.
It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Hey, everybody, welcome back to the show. If you want to give me a call, 877-207-2276. If you want to watch the show and participate with some great people in a chat room, you can do it by going to rumble.com/Matt Slick Live. And Matt Slick Live, all one word, at rumble.com. Check it out. So we have a lot of good people there. There's about almost 50 in there right now. So praise God. All right. Let's see. Turn that off. There we go. Let's get back on. Okay, come on. There was a mouse. All these things open. Hey. Okay, there we go. Let's get back on with Dante from Louisiana. Dante, you there?
Yes, sir. I'm still here.
All right. All right. So the gentleman that you're talking about and with, here's the thing. I'm going to look at this verse, but here's a principle. When someone says a verse means something and then they just quote it and go on, don't let them do that. Let's take a look at the verse. Let's take a look. Okay. Well, I got five. Well, great. Let's do one at a time. And you always want to look and see if the verse means what they say it means. That's the first thing. You just got to do that. So this verse here, like the one in Revelation, it doesn't count. It didn't work. But for behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former things will not be remembered or come to mind. What former things? And that's the question. Oh. What former things? Yeah. Now, there's also a bit of logic here, because God says He'll remember your sins no more. Now, if someone wants to say that they will not be remembered here in this verse, that means they're forgotten or they don't exist anymore, they're gone, then we have a problem, because God says He will remember our sins no more. Does that mean God doesn't know about them anymore? That can't be, because that means that God would not know all things. That's a problem if they say that phrase. So there's a difference between forgetting and remembering. There's a difference between forgetting and not remembering. So when I lose my car keys, I don't go around with my car keys. I put them someplace. I walk a few rooms away and then go, there, I forgot where I put them. Where are they? I can't do it on purpose. Forgetting is something that's kind of passive. It's just like, you know, I'm 66. I mean, I walk into a room. Why am I in here? You know, this kind of thing. I forgot the reason I sent myself in there. Okay? Now, there are things in my past that I'm aware of that I don't remember. That means I don't bring them to my memory. I don't remember them. It's not that I can't remember them. I don't remember. To remember is to bring to the forefront something in your mind. It's a choice you make. I remember that. You know, hey, remember yesterday when we went to the store? Oh, yeah, I remember that. You're choosing to bring up a memory. Remember when you lost your keys? What day was that? I forgot what day was it. Okay. So we can, from this, the former things will not be remembered. So God won't bring them up again. That doesn't mean we forget. Okay. If He wants to say, well, if it means of us, it doesn't necessitate that it means us. And since God's in the creating, and He said they won't be remembered anymore, then is that what it means? Well, it just, you know, like I said, God says He'll remember our sins no more. And that's all that's going on. It's just a play on words, and your friend there needs to learn, let's just put it this way, proper hermeneutic principles. Okay? All right?
Just real quick, wouldn't verse 16 kind of like say that the things that we won't bring up again is like the former troubles and things of this life? Would that like go with the context, like reading the verse before it?
Yeah. So here's the thing is, let me go back to it. Okay, where are we? Get over here. I have to go forward. Oh man, I got all these windows open. All right, so that was Isaiah 65:17. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh man, dang it! Okay, I got a keyboard cover that's coming apart. So, for behold, I create new heavens and new earth. So the former troubles are forgotten, and because they're hidden from my sight. Okay, let's look at the verse. Verse 15, you will leave your name for a curse to my chosen ones, and the Lord God will slay you. But my servants will be called by another name, because he who is blessed in the earth will be blessed by the God of truth. And he who swears in the earth will swear by the God of truth, because the former troubles are forgotten, and because they are hidden from my sight. So, when God says he forgets them, we know that it cannot mean that there's something of his knowledge that now is gone. It's not possible. So when he's talking like this, he's simply using a poetic form of to illustrate, it's forgotten, it's not here anymore, it's gone. That kind of a thing is all he's saying. That he's not going to remember these things. He's not going to bring them up. And that's what's going on. Okay?
Oh, thank you, Matt. I appreciate it.
All right, man. No problem, buddy. God bless.
God bless you.
All right. All right, let's get on the air with Alberto from Georgia. Alberto, welcome. You're on the air.
Yeah, my question is, why do Christians spend so much time on stuff like non-important things that got not to do really in the real world, to win the lost people in the streets? You know, I mean, talk about logic or...
I can't understand or, you. Wait, hold on.
Why do people, why do Christians spend so much time...
I'm trying to ask for clarification on something. Why do some, and I didn't understand that one word,
Spend so much time on the stuff that's really important within the law every day out there. They get talking about logic or things that are not really that very important within the law, doing the Great Commission for the Lord.
Excuse me, Alberto. I can't follow what you're saying. Okay.
Wait a moment.
Okay, hold on a sec. I'm just going to move along. I can't understand what he's saying. Folks, I do have a hearing loss and stuff, but on my end, it was popping a little bit, and I would miss some of the syllables and the words. I wasn't sure, and it kept going. And each time I try and say, what? To get back to it, he just keeps going, and so it just doesn't become fruitful. So you're right, Joanne. He was talking very quickly, and it wasn't a very good connection, at least on my end. I don't know if everybody else could hear him, but unfortunately, I do have 80 decibel ringing in both ears, and it really does get in the way sometimes, particularly if the connection is not really good or someone's talking quickly, and I can't understand a word or two. That's just how it is. Amor from North Carolina, welcome. You're on the air.
Hey, Matt. Good to talk to you always. I'm a regular listener as much as I can, you know.
Thank you.
Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, I hear you fine. Thank you.
Okay. I really like your topic, the beginning, about you're talking about, you know, this activity, and you're always a defender of the faith, very strong, and I know I have to do my part also. But the main question I want to ask you, and I told to your screener, is that if a person die, let's say, for example, maybe you and me, one person die, and he is like an evangelist, a preacher, like you know, a preacher, but and the other one is just a regular guy, you know, he's saved also, and you end up in heaven. Is there any? This is always playing my mind. I don't know. I read a lot, but I want to hear your point also.
I'm not sure I understand. I'm not sure. Hold on, we got a break coming up. Hold on, we have a break coming up, okay? So I'm not sure I understood the question, though. So hold on, we'll be right back, folks. After these messages, four open lines, 877-207-2276. We'll be right back.
It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Right. Hey, welcome back, everybody. It's the bottom of the hour. We have three open lines. If you want to give me a call, 877-207-2276. Hey, just want to give you a heads up that we're going to Japan in November. And if you are interested in going there, and I'll be going with some people, we're going to do a small group, maybe 10 to 15 people, and do a tour of certain Christian sites and a bit of history from Japan, and seeing some of the sites and enjoying some of the culture as well. That sounds like fun. This November, all you're going to do is go to carm.org, type in Japan trip in the search engine. You'll find all the information you need. All right. Hey, let's get back to Amor. Amor. Okay, let's try it again, buddy. All right?
Yeah.
Okay.
The one that I want to ask you and always bother me is that, as I said, if a two-person died, one is like a well-accomplished pastor, a preacher, evangelist, and everything like that. The other person is like a regular guy, saved also, but he did not do that much. It just was also saved, but he's not like a preacher or evangelist. And both of them die, and they go to heaven. Do they have? Does God have different place for the preacher, which is more accomplished or whatever you call it, evangelist, than the other? Like, if I'm staying in a hotel, they will be in the suite. I'm just in the basement, which is just okay with me. I mean, I'm in the same place with God, so that's okay with me. It's not biblical.
It's not if you're a pastor or a mechanic. That's not the issue. The issue is, in the station that God has called you, have you done what He's wanted you to do where you are? So the pastor versus a mechanic, that's irrelevant. If a pastor is not doing what God wants him to do in his work, he's in trouble. And if a mechanic is doing exactly what God wants in most of his endeavors as a mechanic, let's just say, well, then he's going to have a higher reward. Okay? It's not if a pastor, like me, I teach a lot. I'm on the radio. I'm on the internet. I'm on the website, you know, the videos. Okay. Does that mean I'm higher in heaven? Absolutely not. If God's given me a lot of responsibility, and I need to act accordingly and submit it all there. But what about a little old lady? The only thing God's called her to do is to be a prayer warrior, and she is faithful in that all the way. Well, I'll have to make reservations in heaven to go up to the higher levels of goodness to see her. So, okay.
So we will be about in the same place with God. There's no like, you are in the suite. I mean that you are in the fourth floor. I mean the first. There's no such thing like that. It's not like that. Or the crown. I read also sometimes there will be, because God will be just what you did. I mean you are still with Him in heaven, the same place. But there will be like crown because you have done more. Or that's not. I'm interpreting it right. Wrong.
Okay, so we're going to receive rewards in heaven. I don't know what those rewards are. I don't know what they mean. He doesn't tell us. And I don't know how that's going to relate to what's going to be occurring in heaven. He doesn't tell us in the Word. So I don't know. And that's it. In all seriousness, I mean, I have a lot of things I do for the Lord. It doesn't mean I deserve a better place than the average Joe. It doesn't mean that. Because what if I'm not doing what God wants me to do? I'm always having to second guess myself. Lord, is this what you want me to do? Am I doing this for my own will or for yours? You know, and these are the issues. And what if I'm doing everything for my own will and God's using it anyway? Well, what reward do I get? None. As long as I'm in heaven, I don't care. But you see,
right.
It,
as long as we are only in heaven, I mean, even though I'm in the lowest floor, I will be okay with me.
That's right. Yeah, if it makes me a street sweeper in the lower part, the outer part of heaven, fine, that's good enough.
In His presence, I will be fine with
right.
me.
But, that's right.
But anyway,
that's right.
I just love talking to you, listening to your show every time I have a chance. So more power to you, and I always say God bless you what you do, man.
Amen. Thanks a lot. Appreciate it. God bless, brother. Thanks.
Thank you, man. You have a nice day. Bye-bye.
You too. All right. Hey, just want to give a thanks to JesusFreak48 for $5 rant in Rumble. Appreciate that. It's a nice little bit of support, and the Karn Ministry always can use it. And let me just say, yes, we definitely can. I'm not giving details, but yes, we definitely can. Okay, we can always use that support. We most assuredly can and do need it. All right, let's get on the air with Clarice from North Carolina. Clarice, welcome. You're on the air.
Hi, Matt. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I just recently discovered you on the Truth Network.
Okay.
And, I've been a born-again Christian for 42 years. And
oh, good.
Been try to be a student of God's Word. I read and pray every day. And I've sat under some really good men of God. And I thank God for that. And I have a pastor, and I've always had pastors in these years I've been saved, that believe the church is going to be raptured out before the tribulation.
Uh-huh.
And I have a relative who's a pastor in Florida that to me about the church is going through the tribulation and believes what you do. And, you know, I'm not going to leave a church because that's not the fundamentals of the faith as far as
right.
the
death. Good for you.
Burial and resurrection, you know, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
However, I have never necessarily taken, when a man of God says that, taken that at face value just because they say it, because for me, I don't think it's clear and black and white. Jesus will rapture you out at such and such. I think it's an inference like men of God have made, and that's my opinion. So my question to you is, and even my pastor brought this up yesterday, that in his message, that Lot is a typology of the church being raptured out. And also I've heard him say Noah was. Like the eight people were saved when the... And yeah, I know...
It doesn't work.
Wrath.
I'll tell you why.
The flood
it
was wrath.
Neither one works. Neither one works. Lot was still in the area of the destruction around him. He was preserved while he was in it. Noah was inside the flood that killed people. And the flood was around there. The danger was all around them. And they were inside it. They weren't taken up out of the area of destruction. They were in the midst of it. Both Lot and Noah. Yeah, it's a common thing. Lot's a type of the church and raptured up. Well, what was Lot raptured? No. He was taken out of the city, but it doesn't say just Sodom and Gomorrah. It says the other cities around them were destroyed. Around them.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say, if I were debating somebody, I'd say, so were they still in the area? Yes. Were they preserved inside of the difficulty? Yes. Thank you very much. Was Noah in the ark, and the ark was right there on top of the water? Right there, present in the storm? Yes. Thank you very much. And then I would say, got anything else?
Well, they always use the verse in First Thessalonians.
Mm-hmm.
That's
which one?
The go-to verse. You know, I think chapter 3 of First Thessalonians.
What verse? Which one?
For Second Thessalonians,
to wrath?
I'm sorry. We'll not all... of course, the one I want to quote a verse of Scripture, I forget
That's
it.
That's all right.
But I'm happy to look it up real fast.
Tell me what it is.
I can tell you the exact...
No, that's okay. Tell me, I got a thing right in front of me. I'm pretty fast on a computer. What's the verse like?
Well, it's either 1st or 2nd Thessalonians chapter 3. And
okay.
The verse is... I just turned to it so I can tell you.
Okay.
The verse is saying...
if you give me a couple words, I can probably find it. So, yeah.
I'm sorry, it's chapter 5. Concerning the times and seasons, for you to know that the day of the Lord comes as a thief. No, I'm sorry, it was chapter 5 instead of 3.
Yes.
I'm sorry.
I know the verse well. Yes, I know it. Want me to show you something?
Yes, please.
Okay. The Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trumpet of God. The dead in Christ will rise first, and we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. That's the rapture, right? I have no problem with that. It's a rapture, right? Okay?
Right.
And he goes on. He says in verse 5, he says, now as to the times of the epics, brethren, you have no need of anything to be written to you, for you yourselves know full well that the day of the Lord comes like just like a thief in the night. So the day of the Lord is one day the rapture occurs, and that's come like a thief in the night, right?
Yes.
Okay. Then you go to 2 Peter 3:10. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. 2 Peter 3:10. I'll read it to you. The day of the Lord will come like a thief, in which the heavens will pass away and the roar, with a roar, the elements will be destroyed with intense heat, and the earth and its works will be burned up. So that's the same day, isn't it?
It seems to me it is, yes.
Okay, now if it's the same day, and that's a good question, it seems, that's a very good response. It seems like it is. See, that's a good response. It may be, it may not be, but it seems like it is. That's a very good statement. And we've got a break, so hold on, and then we'll get back, we'll discuss it, because here's the question I'm going to deal with. If they both happen on the same day, then that happens at when the new heavens and new earth are made. The rapture occurs with the new heavens and new earth. Where's the millennium? We'll be right back after these messages.
It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Right, everyone, welcome back to the show. Hey, let's get back on the air with Clarice. Hey, Clarice, are you still there?
Yes, sir, I am. Thank you.
All right. So I like what you said, it seems to be. And that's a really good response. Seriously, it is. But it certainly does seem to be the case that the rapture and the creation of the new heavens and new earth happen on the same day, right?
I've never thought about that.
Yeah. When someone showed me
further points.
That's okay. When someone showed me these two things, he didn't say, hey, I'm going to interpret this for you. He just said, look at them. And I went, oh my goodness, there's no millennium. First thing I said, I got converted on the spot. So you've heard, you know, this stuff.
Wait a minute. Excuse me. Yeah. I'm interrupting you.
No, it's okay.
You just said something. And I know this may be for another day because I don't want to take up everyone else's time. But you said there would be no millennium.
No literal
thousand years.
No
reign of Christ.
Yeah, no literal thousand. That's right.
I've never heard that in my life.
Get this. Jesus, it's called all millennialism. Jesus said that Satan must be bound, right? And he is bound, according to
4,000 years.
No, he's bound in Matthew 12, 22 to 32. Jesus says the strong man must be bound in order for him to cast out demonic forces. So he's bound because Jesus was doing it. Jesus also said, get this, this is what's really freaky. You know the phrase where it says two men in the field, one is taken, one is left? That's the rapture, right?
Yeah.
That's not. Absolutely not. Now that one I will say, no, it is not. And all you got to do is read the context. Because it says in Matthew 24, Luke 17, it goes along the same way. And it says, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be the days of the coming of the Son of Man. For they were eating, they were drinking, they were giving in marriage till the day that Noah entered the ark and the flood came in. And Matthew 24 says, the flood came and took them all away. Two men will be in the field, one is taken. So they say, that's the good who's taken. Well, no, it's not. Because the parallel in Luke 17 says, they were giving in marriage to the day that Noah entered the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. The ones who are taken are the wicked. And when I show this to people, when I take a few minutes and sit down with them and show it to them, it's been 100% conversion rate that everybody's always said, you're right, that's what it is. It's the wicked who are taken.
Okay, time out. Excuse me, sir. I have to ask you.
Yes.
May I ask you something? I'm sorry to interrupt you, but
that's okay.
You know, again, I don't want to take up other people's time, and I've
listened
to
good.
People
this is good.
On there and they ramble off.
Let's go on.
But my question to you is, because you have said this, and you're like, I'm going to start thinking, and now, do you give private talks, question and answer things privately?
Yes.
Maybe you have to charge for it, or you do it.
No, I don't charge for that. No, I don't do that. No, I don't charge.
That in itself, I mean, wow.
No, I don't do that.
Wow. I've never heard anyone say. Can I just say this to you, please? I have wondered, in my mind, I've been thinking, okay, where's the church going to be if there's a thousand-year reign on earth? Like, where the if there was a rapture, as pastors have said, a pre-trib rapture, and then Christ is going to come back and set up his reign on the earth for a thousand years. Where's the bride of Christ going to be in that?
They say in heaven. I know the argument but look, here's something to think about. This thing in Matthew 24, Luke 17, I'm going to even blow your mind away a little bit further. Because the ones who are taken are the wicked. They even ask Jesus, where are they taken? And he answers the question in Luke 17.
What verse is that in 24?
Matthew 24, 36. Okay, go there. Let me see, make sure. Matthew 24, 36.
Okay, I've got my Bible lessons to that.
Okay, starting at verse 37.
Not even the angels, no.
Okay. No, that's a different topic. That's a different thing altogether, not even the angels. But it's starting at verse 37. For the coming of the Son of Man will be just like the days of Noah. Okay? Now, I'll show you this, okay? For as in those days before the flood, who's the they? Okay? They were eating and drinking, marrying and giving marriage till the day that Noah entered the ark. They did not understand until the flood came and took them all away. Who's taken? By the flood.
The sinners on earth.
Absolutely. There'll be two men in the field. One will be taken and one will be left. Who's taken?
The sinner.
That's right. You just saw it. Now, here's a question. I'm 66. I've been converted since I was 17. I have been hearing pastors teach that this is the rapture so many times, and they get it wrong. I mean, the rapture occurs. That's another topic. This is not about the rapture. If they can't even get this right, how can I trust them to get anything else right when it's so obvious? You just read it, and you got it.
Mm-hmm.
Now look at this. I'm going to show you something even more strange. Luke 17:26. as just as it happened in the days of Noah, so shall it be the days of the Son of Man. They were eating. Here's the they again. They were eating. They were drinking. They were giving in marriage. They were being given in marriage till the day that Noah entered the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. It's the wicked. That's who's taken.
Right.
Two men will be in the field. One is taken. It's the wicked who are taken. Right? Why?
Right.
Yeah. Why are the pastors saying this is rapture? It's not. And it blows me away. This is not revolutionary. It's not, you know, it's not like, oh man, this guy named Slick on the radio is saying something weird. It's like, what does it say? And they can't even see it. It's incredible. Now, if you go down to the end of Luke 17, and they said, where are they going to be taken? And answering, they said, where, Lord? And he said to them, where the body is, the vultures also will be gathered. They're taken to a place of death.
Right.
Okay, now, you have your Bible open?
I do.
All right. Matthew 13, let's just go to verse, you can go to 25, but it's really before, but we're going to get to it.
I didn't hear the book.
Matthew 13.
25?
Matthew 13.
I'm sorry.
Okay. It's starting at verse 24. It's the tares and the wheat. And we don't need to read the whole thing because you're familiar, I'm sure, with the tares and the wheat. The issue here is this. Hey, they said, should we tear up the tares? He says, no, lest you tear up the wheat. And then verse 30, he says, allow both to grow together until the harvest. In the time of the harvest, I'll say to the reapers, first gather up the... Who's gathered first?
Tares. Mm-hmm. The
what?
Tares.
The wicked are taken first.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever heard that before?
No. The wicked are raptured?
Well, I don't know. But what Jesus says is they're taken first. He says, and bind them to burn them up. But gather the wheat in my barn. And then if you go down to verse 40, he interprets the parable. Just as the tares are gathered up and burned with fire, so shall it be at the end of the age. Now check this out. The Son of Man will send forth his angels. They'll gather out of his kingdom all stumbling blocks. And those who commit lawlessness, the wicked are in his kingdom. They're taken out. And I'm not showing anything revolutionary. It's what it says. I show this to people, and they do what you do. And I'm going to ask them, how come no one's seen this before? How come you don't hear the preachers talking about it? Talk about pre-trib rapture. We're going to get out. I say, show me a single verse where it's pre-trib rapture. Or a set of scriptures, show it to me. I don't see it. What we do see here, here's something else. I can show you a lot. Go ahead.
I was just wondering, how are you tying this in also to the, you believe there's no thousand-year reign?
Well, if you go to Revelation 20, I'll show you something, okay? You've been taught that it's a literal
thousand.
And again,
I apologize for taking people's time up.
No, this is fine. Don't worry about it. My show, I can do what I want. It's great.
Okay.
So here's the thing. Revelation 20, they always say the word thousand is literal. So I'm going to ask you some questions. This is what Revelation 20, verse 1 says. That I saw an angel come down from heaven. Would you say it's a literal angel or figurative angel? What would you say? An angel coming down from heaven.
I'd say it's a literal angel.
I would say so, too. I'd say literal, holding the key of the abyss and a great chain in his hand. Now, okay, did he have a literal key and a literal chain? I'd say
that's
probably
I'm not going to split hairs over yes or no on that.
Yeah, okay, there you go. So you can't say that definitely literal because he's going to bind Satan with it. He's going to bind Satan, but Satan's not bound with a chain. So it's not a literal chain. It's simple. He laid hold of the dragon.
Mm-hmm.
That's figurative. The serpent of old.
Right. Well,
that's literal. Who is the devil and Satan.
Mm-hmm.
That's literal and bound in for 1,000 years. So is it literal or figurative?
Well, that's literal.
How do you know? Because God owns the cattle on
it. It just is. I mean...
No, they told you.
Is one of those stories. So.
They told you it was literal. How do you know it's literal from the context? because in the context, there's figurative usage along with literal usage. And yet people just assume it's literal. If it's literal, and the rapture happens before the 1,000 years, and the rapture is the day of the Lord comes like a thief in the night, and the new heavens and new earth is the day of the Lord comes like a thief, well then, where's 1,000 years for it, if they both occur in the same day? Here, let me show you something else. We're almost out of time.
Okay.
Matthew 24, verse 1. Jesus came out of the temple. The disciples were there. He said these stones will be torn down. And they asked him, tell us, verse 3, what will be the, when will these things happen? And what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age? I purposely have not focused on the phrase, the end of the age. You should call back tomorrow. And I'll teach you about that. That'll really mess you up. Okay, the end of the age. Okay, will it be the sign of your return and the end of the age? And he goes on, he talks all about all kinds of stuff about false Christs and wars and rumors of wars. And he says, in answer, he goes, but immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened, the moon will not give its light, the stars will fall from the sky, then the Son of Man will appear in the sky, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn. They'll see him, the Son of Man, coming in the clouds. And he will send forth his angels with a great trumpet, and they'll gather together his elect from the four winds. From one, what? The gathering of his people with the trumpet is after the tribulation. And in 1 Thessalonians 4:16, they're gathered with the trumpet, and there's only one great trumpet.
Well, I have believed that in my spirit, Matt, and yet my mind, because I hear it. You know, I mean, seriously, I went back and forth, and I would, you know, I would love to ask you more questions, but I won't. But I do want to ask you this one question. Are you friends with Pastor John MacArthur?
No. I wish I were. I'd like to debate him on something, but he's a great guy.
Okay.
I don't know him personally.
I would love to know what you'd like to debate him on, but anyway,
charismatic gifts.
That now for another day.
Yeah, charismatic gifts, millennium, and the rapture. I'd debate him on those. A friendly debate.
Okay. Well, listen. Thank you. I would love to. What's the best way to contact if we ever want a small group question and answer?
Sure. Just email me info@carm.org. You've been to my website, carm.org, carm.org.
Okay.
Go to that. Okay. Just go to that website. That's my website. Okay. And at the bottom is the email address. And just email me. Hey, let's do a phone chat thing with a bunch of people. That's fine. Okay. No big deal. Okay.
Thank you. God bless you.
You too. God bless. All right, John from Winston-Salem. I want to talk about the chosen tomorrow. You got that question? Call me back then. Hey, may the Lord bless you, everybody. I gotta go. We're out of time. God bless. Talk to you later.
Another program powered by the Truth Network.